ABC Radio Australia.
Australia, PNG and Indonesia will today hold their first ever defence ministers meeting, just a few months after Canberra signed landmark security agreements with both Jakarta and Port Moresby. Meanwhile, PNG's defence minister, Billy Joseph, says that he wants to set up a buffer zone on the border of PNG and Indonesia's rest of West Papua province. And Australia's foreign minister, Penny Wong, has used a speech in Canberra to burnish the government's Pacific credentials, while warning about the risks caused by China's military build-up. Foreign Affairs reporter Stephen Jedgetts joins us now with the latest on all of this. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Aggie.
Yeah, let's get straight into it. Gosh, what's the significance of this trilateral meeting today? I mean, I'm wondering, what is its genesis and where did the idea for this come from?
Well, Aggie, this seems to have come from the discussions that Australia and Papua New Guinea were holding with Indonesia when they were negotiating the Puk-Puk Treaty, the landmark defence treaty that was signed just a couple of months ago. Also, of course, worth remembering that Australia and Indonesia have also signed their own security agreement. In fact, that happened only a month or so after Australia signed the agreement with Papua New Guinea. Mm. So the Albanese government has not exactly been idle here when it comes to building up these agreements in the region. So, of course, Australia and PNG were very conscious in the lead up to this announcement that they would have to tread carefully with Indonesia. Indonesia is always wary of any foreign interference whatsoever. It's particularly wary if it touches at all on anything to do with West Papua, the restive province where Indonesia faces essentially an ongoing insurgency, or at least a low-level insurgency. So given PNG shares a long land border with West Papua, something we'll discuss shortly as well, Australia and Papua New Guinea were keen to keep Indonesia informed and to reassure them that there was nothing being contemplated by this defence treaty that would pose any sort of threat to Indonesia. Now, that seems to have largely worked, although Indonesia has still publicly made it clear that there are at least some in the Indonesian system that have reservoirs of doubt about this agreement, or at least a little bit wary of it. And it seems that this idea of a trilateral defence ministers meeting was set up in part because it would provide a really useful mechanism for transparency for Australia and Papua New Guinea to explain to Indonesia exactly what they were doing, what this security treaty would mean. If they were doing joint exercises, you know, they could explain exactly where they would be and how they would work. It's designed in the first instance, I think, to reassure Indonesia about what the two countries are contemplating. Over the medium to long term, it could go even further, of course, building more strategic trust between all three, perhaps encouraging more trilateral engagement and military exercises between the three countries and, of course, Australia over time. Hopes that it will bring a broader alignment of strategic views between Canberra, Jakarta and Port Moresby. That, however, I think is likely to be a longer-term project.
Yeah, Stephen, I mean, on the buffer proposal, right, with Indonesia and PNG, I mean, just how exactly would this work?
Well, all we've got to go on at the moment is a statement that the Minister for Defence in PNG, Billy Joseph, has made to the ABC. It's not yet clear whether Indonesia would be interested in pursuing this at all. But nonetheless, Billy Joseph says that he is worried about the land border between PNG and West Papua. It runs more than 800 kilometres, so it's a very large area. And of course, as a number of people have pointed out, you know, we have seen a fair flow of people, but also weapons across that border. And as we know, the conflicts that we've seen in the highlands of PNG are also in some ways connected to that flow of weapons, potentially in both directions. So this is something that obviously Billy Joseph is concerned about. Mm. The way he's sketched it out is basically, look, we'll set up a buffer zone between the two countries. He's suggesting it would be about 10 kilometres along the border in width. He's saying it would be a no man's land that would be free from military infrastructure. But then within that, both TNI, the Indonesian National Forces, and the PNGDF can man effectively joint patrols or police that no man's land. So he says, quote, "That's the sort of close collaboration we want to see with Indonesia." Now, you know, he would hope, you know, make sure that some of the unrest that we're seeing in West Papua doesn't bleed across the border. Whether Indonesia is willing to contemplate that, given the enormous sensitivities in Jakarta around this issue, and given the fact that things are still pretty grim in West Papua, we haven't seen the same violence very recently that we've had in recent years, but all of the signs, you know, continue to point that the fact that the Indonesian government's attempts to really bolster economic growth in the province are not really working, and the large numbers of people in West Papua clearly still hanker very much for independence, something that Indonesia is simply not willing to grant. So it's not yet clear whether Jakarta's willing to look at this, but it's very interesting and noteworthy that this is being proposed, and particularly interesting that it's being proposed on the eve of this big trilateral meeting with Australia, Indonesia, and Papua New Guinea. It'll be interesting to see what Australia makes of this idea too.
That's right. Well, I mean, look, meanwhile, the foreign minister actually used a speech to lay out the government's Pacific strategy. Was there anything that sort of jumped out at you?
Yeah, a couple of things. This is a pretty detailed speech from the foreign minister at an event given by the Kokoda Track Foundation in Canberra last night. Much of it did go over, I guess, fairly familiar ground, talking about what the federal government, what the Australian government is trying to do in the Pacific. But it was still a useful and very substantive statement about the broader strategy the government's bringing to bear. Unsurprisingly, given the world we're in at the moment, the foreign minister struck a somewhat grim tone at times, talking about the big challenges facing the Pacific, climate change, of course, at the top of that list, transnational crime, which she called a pervasive scourge in the region. But then she also wanted to make it clear that the Pacific was being buffeted by some of the trends that are hurting the globe at the moment, including rampant disinformation, foreign interference, and cyber attacks. And perhaps unsurprisingly, China inevitably also came up. The foreign minister said China was continuing to assert its strategic influence, including through economic and security means, and is, quote, "more frequently projecting its military power further into our region." She referred to the worrying pace of China's military buildup. And in the face of that, she said Australia was really trying to back in what she's called a Pacific first approach to security, saying that outside players need to respect sovereignty and Pacific-led approaches. And there was a pretty clear reference to China when she said that the growing interest and activity from external partners in the security of our region has had, quote, "consequences, both intended and unintended." So again, that's another clear sign from Australia that, you know, that it does not like what China is doing in the region, whether that's increasing Chinese military visits to the region or that China's push into the policing and security space in the Pacific. This is something the government sees as unwelcome and fundamentally destabilizing.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, I mean, look, it comes as the government monitors, you know, a Chinese naval flotilla in the Philippine Sea to the north, east of Papua New Guinea. Do we, Stephen, know where it's actually heading?
No, we don't at the moment. There were some interesting images released yesterday by a private intelligence firm that's managed to track down this flotilla. We first heard about its existence officially last week, and shortly after that, there was a report in the Financial Review saying that a Chinese task group was being monitored by Australia. Yesterday, the Defence Minister effectively confirmed that, saying he wouldn't give a running commentary, but confirming that they were looking at a flotilla in the Philippine Sea. Apologies, Aggie, this was actually on Monday, not yesterday. The days are blurring into one. Then yesterday, this private firm came out and released these images, which show that as of December the 1st, it was around 260 nautical miles east of the Philippines in the Philippine Sea, heading in a southeast direction. Now, the fact it's motoring to the southeast is obviously caused a bit of interest in the Australian government. It's not clear exactly where it's heading, but they're already operating well outside of the first island chain. If they continue their trajectory or the passage, then you could see a situation where it swings to the north of Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands. And obviously, you know, Australia might wonder whether it would then head further south from there onto the Australian eastern seaboard. But at the moment, this is speculation. We don't know where it's going. We don't know exactly what it's doing. We do know that it boasts some pretty formidable firepower and that it's being tracked very closely by New Zealand, Australia, and of course, Washington as well. So we'll have to wait and see.
Absolutely. And as always, we do know you're the only one that allows us to be updated with all that is happening out there from Canberra. So thank you very much, Stephen.
No problem, Aggie. Cheers.
That is our ABC Foreign Affairs reporter, Stephen Jedgetts, here on Pacific Beat.